For the Climate Discussion Nexus, I'm John Robson, with the latest readout video from our free Wednesday Wake Up email newsletter, to which you should subscribe as always, as you should subscribe to our various social media, and support our work if you don't already. And with a friendly but alas distant wave to those in Brazil, who've made it number 21 on our all-time list of views by jurisdiction. It's also going to host COP number 30 shortly, but alas, we won't be there to visit what's left of the rainforest and sample what's left of the coffee. We went to Azerbaijan last year instead. Oh well, it probably won't matter because Earth is doomed again and again. We've passed a final tipping point on our way to dozens more, since the big news among the herd of independent minds is that, as The Guardian put it, quote, the Earth has reached its first catastrophic tipping point linked to greenhouse gas emissions, with warm water coral reefs now facing a long-term decline, end quote. Of course, one problem is that a tipping point means a sudden wipeout, not the alleged start of a long, slow decline. You're either plummeting one way or another, or else just sitting there. But if you find yourself instead on a leisurely stroll downhill, it's not a tipping point. Those are when the sled goes off the top of Mount Crumpet or doesn't. Another thing is that it didn't happen. Instead, the story is about what might happen, quote, unless global heating is reduced to 1.2 degrees Celsius as fast as possible, end quote. See, quote, warm water coral reefs will not remain at any meaningful scale, a report by 160 scientists from 23 countries warns, end quote. Might, maybe, after a long, slow decline, but it's a great headline, so look for it to appear again and again. As for instance, quote, world's coral reefs in almost irreversible die-off, scientists say, change is happening fast now, according to lead author of a new report from Canada's state broadcaster. Which was sent to us by an alert reader who added the comment, quote, I was reading about the Indo-Pacific warm pool today. It's consistently the warmest place in all the oceans. It also happens to be, by pure coincidence I'm sure, where over 75% of all coral lives. Silly coral. Doesn't even know where to set up shop after 500 million years of evolution. Well, now it's clearly getting what it deserves, end quote. Meanwhile, Time magazine chimes in with the lurid, quote, the world's first climate tipping point has been crossed, scientists say, end quote. Then it rumbles, quote, the exact moment when Earth will reach its tipping points, moments at which human-induced climate change will trigger irreversible planetary changes, has long been a source of debate for scientists. But they might be closer than we think, end quote. Yeah, unless they're not. But the settled science is worse than we thought, we're all gonna die, blah, 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 lather, rinse, repeat. And now, we interrupt the program for a word from our sponsor, which as always, is you. We haven't asked for a while, I don't like doing it, you don't like hearing it, but these videos don't make themselves. You know, we don't have big fancy budgets. We film here in my study or downstairs in my living room, and the only reason we can do it at all is because of contributions from people like you. So please, if you haven't already, make a pledge, one time or monthly, so we can get back to doing what we love best, which is this. Now, speaking of things that really do appear to be doomed, the vaunted electric vehicle industry, vaunted here being a term meaning favored by politicians, not customers or companies, continues to crash. For instance, quote, Ferrari halves targets for electric cars amid falling demand, end quote. And if the Ferrari crowd can't afford them, it's a bigger sign of trouble even than when Ford did it 2 years ago. And General Motors is now following suit. Zealots may continue to push the pedal and make voom voom noises, but the thing's just not moving. In which regard, we also note an internal audit by Canada's Department of Natural Resources, which has long since mistaken itself for a twin Ministry of Climate Change, finding that the plan to spend public money to build a network of EV charging stations has half succeeded. They spent all the money. But instead of hitting the targeted 33,500 stations, there are only 12,010 so far. Still, the report insists that, quote, findings suggest the federal government's involvement in the development and funding of electric vehicle infrastructure is necessary to address market failures, end quote. Yeah? So, what mechanisms in place to address government failures? More government failures? What's worse, Blacklock's reporter informs us that here in Canada, where governments generally think they're cutting edge when they're trailing edge, quote, road safety regulations have failed to keep pace with hazards posed by weighty electric vehicles, says the Department of Transport. Large batteries add tons to the weight of a motor vehicle, representing a key factor in collisions, said a report. Electric vehicles can outweigh similarly sized gas-powered cars by hundreds of pounds, creating safety risks in a collision with a lighter vehicle. Their increased weight also means some heavier models may fall outside of Transport Canada's testing standards altogether, end quote. But the government is farsighted. Really it is. It says so itself. Oh, by the way, the airline that we've cited several times as inviting people to fly to warmer places, even in summer, just invited us to, quote, cozy up to exploring Edmonton this winter, end quote. Which, in the interest of fair play, we are obliged to report and admit that it calls their judgment sharply into question. But, speaking of cold places, we note Scientific American peddling, quote, science behind record-breaking Everest blizzard that trapped hundreds. A blizzard that trapped hundreds of trekkers on Mount Everest was truly off the charts, experts explain, end quote. Indeed. And you just know you're going to get bad statistical practices blaming climate change. And you do, including this, quote, it's off the charts in terms of the 6-year record we have from the weather stations on Everest, says Tom Matthews, a climate scientist at King's College London, who co-led the expedition to the highest weather station on Earth at Everest in 2019, end quote. What kit uses 6 years' worth of data for long-term climate studies? Ah, and not only did Canadian Prime Minister Mark Carney break with Donald Trump and strike a bold independent course in company with all the other cool kids and recognize a non-existent Palestinian state, only to have Trump bring a Mideast peace deal, but as we noted last week, his vaunted GFANZ, that's the Global Financial Alliance for Net Zero, just folded like a cheap lawn chair. And as Catherine Swift observes of its demise after a mere 4 years, quote, for years we were told by liberal governments that the environment and the economy go hand in hand, end quote. Apparently not. But in Ottawa, they still think they do, making one wonder whether Carney's vaunted sophisticated international knowledge is really all that it's cracked up to be by him. Also, having scorned the primitive Trump on Israel's survival and the loathsomeness of Hamas, Carney was barely wheels down from flying to Washington after flying to the U.S. on his return from Mexico, and now he's jetting off to Sharm el-Sheikh, yes, the site of the COP28 conference that we were told was vital at the time, though a search party couldn't find its achievements now. Quote, the Prime Minister will depart for Sharm el-Sheikh, Egypt, to attend the signing of a Middle East peace plan, closed to media, end quote. Say, isn't that the same Mark Carney convinced we should all reduce our own carbon foot and wing print, making by Wikipedia's account 10 trips to 13 countries in just 7 months? Oh, and how's this for climate cancel culture? In 2024, special editor Marty Rowland published a paper explaining the climate skeptic viewpoint in the American Journal of Economics and Sociology, which sounds like a bit of an oxymoron, but never mind. The point is, the usual suspects howled that such views must not even be aired, not because there were errors in the paper, but because climate skepticism is double plus ungood. The journal didn't retract the paper because, again, the critics couldn't point to any factual issues, but it did fire the editor. So, don't wonder why scientists and others working at public universities and in public institutions don't speak out against what they know to be inaccurate alarmist claims. And don't wonder why the public is losing faith in academia and science. Including because in the newsletter, we also note, again, that the same people who claim to love nature in principle don't seem to have much use for it in practice. Consider this Los Angeles Times headline, quote, plan to reflect sunlight to power solar panels at night upsets astronomers, end quote. Oh, sorry, did you spit out your coffee? Yeah, we came close too. But the essence of the story is that solar power is such a great organic solution to the dreaded carbon pollution that all we have to do is redesign the whole planet to a kind of flat Earth where the sun shines at night, and then it might actually work. And the only problem this mighty legacy media outlet seems to have had with that notion is that we couldn't see the stars quite as well. Ah, then we take a quick break from warning about the perilous intersection of China's geopolitical ambitions and Western naivete to use Vladimir Putin as a cautionary tale about listening to climate alarmists when it comes to geopolitics. Doggins.com, whose slogan is "The Actual News," chuckles, quote, nature turns on Putin, climate change threatens Russia's Arctic ambitions, end quote. And we chuckle, have you ever been to Siberia? Whatever else one might say about Russia's governments over the centuries, it is clearly the case that the country has always been hampered economically and even culturally by being, in large measure, a barren, frozen wasteland. Only a truly delusional person would think that its interests could be harmed if it got warmer, and here they come. And we retort, net zero. Then we provide another installment in our Have It Both Ways, this time about rainfall in the Sahel. It's that vast transition zone in Africa between the Sahara Desert and the mid-continental rainforests, which does include Senegal, which we recently visited in our documentary on Western imposed energy poverty, and where we saw, yes, wild camels. And there's a connection here, because as we've argued before, Western governments are using the threat of climate change as a rationale to cut off funding for African conventional energy projects on the grounds that it's better for poor countries to stay poor than to risk worsening the climate crisis. And what is this crisis, you ask? I'm glad you did, because among other things, experts said in December 2005 that anthropogenic climate change would cause the Sahel region to get drier. But by now you know the trick. In climate science, you can have it both ways. And sure enough, just 3 months later, another study was published saying the Sahel would get wetter. So, for the green neocolonialists wanting to shut down African energy development to prevent drying in the Sahel, we say a better plan is to let countries like Senegal develop the way we did. And if you're worried about some climate model predicting an ominous trend, don't worry, because another one predicts the opposite. And we say, since the science lets us have it both ways, so should the economics. And now for something completely different. On July 10th, 1913, Death Valley, California supposedly recorded a temperature of 134 degrees Fahrenheit, for long the world record for the hottest day ever, and of course, a long time ago. But a new paper in the Bulletin of the American Meteorological Society argues that the day in question actually didn't get hotter than 120 Fahrenheit, and that record should be rescinded. And as you know, we've complained many times about climate officials monkeying around with historical temperature data, cooling the past and warming the present, to prove their theory. But if the data really is wrong, it needs to be corrected. And here the lead authors are Roy Spencer and John Christie. They're the developers of the University of Alabama satellite temperature record, and they're contributors to the recent U.S. Department of Energy Red Team report. So, they're not the usual suspects, but they do say this data is no good. And here's why, briefly. That reading doesn't seem to have been recorded carefully, along with many others at that site, and what's more, other temperatures in the region on that same day just don't support it being unusually hot for that region. And we report it to you because it is, after all, cherry-picking to accept only data you like or only data adjustments that confirm your theories. It sounded good, but apparently it just ain't so. And then from the Department of Plants without funny names, the CO2Science.org archive reports not on multiple lab experiments in seedlings, but on one single experiment involving mature European larch, also known as Larix decidua L. But it still found that an extra 300 parts per million of CO2 brought a 142% increase in growth. So, if you're hiking in the Alps, breathe on a larch. For the Climate Discussion Nexus, I'm John Robson. And if I had passed a tipping point during this video, I wouldn't still be seated here on this ottoman.